This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 580 of the genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Israel carried out a series of massacres this week across the Gaza Strip, killing hundreds in massive airstrikes and drone attacks on residential buildings, tent shelters, and crowded markets. These attacks come as the Israeli government said it was conducting a severe escalation in its assaults on Gaza. War crimes suspect and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared that it was, quote, time to launch the concluding moves, or in other words, a final solution for Palestinians in Gaza. After 2 months of a complete siege, 19 months of an unyielding genocide, and 77 years of the settler colonial ethnic cleansing operations in Palestine. According to the United Nations, as of May 6th, more than 428,000 people have been displaced again since Israel's resumption of full-scale attacks on March 18th, with no safe place to go. On Wednesday, May 7th, Israeli forces bombed a crowded restaurant in Gaza City, one of the last remaining places where people could have a meal, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza. More than 30 Palestinians were killed. Al Jazeera reported that two missiles were fired at two locations, 100 meters apart, at the same time. Reporter Hani Mahmoud stated that, quote, the tables and chairs are all thrown around and blood stains the ground as a result of severe bleeding due to the attack. Nearby, he said that bodies were on the ground, soaked in blood and shredded into pieces. Also in Gaza City on Wednesday, 13 people were killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Al-Tufah neighborhood. Three were killed in Jabalia in the north. Eight people were killed in Khan Yunis in the south. And three people, including a child, were killed in Deir al-Balah in the central Gaza Strip after Israeli forces attacked families sheltering in tents. The death toll from Wednesday alone reached at least 102, with nearly 200 wounded across Gaza, according to the Gaza government media office. Wednesday's massacres came a day after the Israeli army targeted the Abu Hamisa school in the Burej refugee camp in central Gaza, killing at least 30 people in two attacks just hours apart. The government media office stated that Israel continues to, quote, deliberately and systematically target shelters and displacement centers. The number of these centers bombed has reached 234 so far, in flagrant violation of all international and humanitarian laws, and in a blatant attempt to inflict the largest possible number of civilian casualties. Quote, these massacres come amid the Israeli occupation's collapse of the health system, the destruction of hospitals, and the denial of their services. Medical staff are under tremendous pressure, face a severe shortage of medical supplies, the closure of crossings to the wounded, and the prevention of fuel imports, exacerbating the humanitarian catastrophe in the Gaza Strip, the media office added. Palestinians in Jabalia in the north used their hands and small tools to try and recover their loved ones in the rubble after an Israeli attack on residential buildings on May 2nd. Reporter Mahmoud Abu Salama said that the attack destroyed the entire neighborhood and that people were hammering away at the rubble, trying to extract the bodies of the dead and injured. Attacks on eastern Gaza City were also reported on May 2nd, killing 9 Palestinians in an attack on a residential building. 11 people were killed, including 3 infants and a child, in an Israeli strike on a building in Khan Yunis on May 3rd. Israeli forces continued to attack the tents of displaced families. On May 4th, journalist Ahmed Al-Najjar reported from Al-Mawasi, where Israeli forces had bombed Palestinian families sheltering in tents. He said that 10 people, including a child, 7 women, and 2 elderly men, were killed. 10 Palestinians were killed in another attack on tent shelters in the eastern part of the city that same day, along with a strike on a residential building in eastern Gaza City, which killed 15 Palestinians, according to the UN's humanitarian office. Shooting was reported at people attempting to rescue those trapped under the rubble of the struck building. In Rafah, in the southern Gaza Strip, journalist Hussein Khares spoke to an 88-year-old woman who was reportedly assaulted and punched in the face by Israeli soldiers earlier this week. Hissan Alyan said that she was transferred to an Israeli military site where she was interrogated by an Israeli soldier. She was then transferred to hospital for medical treatment. We'll play the video and then I'll paraphrase what she said.
وش إلكو عندنا؟ والله يا ابني يا جبال بخصوص وما حطوه.
ليش بتعيطي يا حجي؟
ما يظن البين الغزة والمصدنة. مدام الله بنا نثبت الدار لنا 60 سنة. وانا بنحاول شلما بنا نثبت الدار. واجوا مسحوها. إلو منارين هم بيضربوا من الصواريخ في الدور في عندنا.
That was Hissan Alyan. She said, quote, "I told the Israeli soldier, I'm not leaving here. Even if you cut me into pieces, I'm not leaving. You forced us out of our country, took our land, you expelled us. What business do you have here with us?" She then says that the soldier lunged at her and hit her. And then she starts crying, saying she was crying from humiliation. She had saved for 60 years to build her house, and then the Israelis wiped it out. Quote, "They've been bombing there with missiles for the past 2 days," she said. As Israel's total closure of all crossings enters the third month, Palestinians in Gaza are being subjected to starvation in catastrophic proportions, according to Euromed Human Rights Monitor. The rights group reported this week that, quote, "A sharp rise in adult death rates was documented among residents of the Gaza Strip, alongside alarming levels of child mortality during the longest continuous total siege imposed by Israel since the beginning of its genocide campaign. Dozens of deaths have been reported from malnutrition or lack of medical care," the group added. Quote, "The latest is a 4-month-old infant, Jinan Al-Skafi, who died of severe malnutrition at Al-Rantisi Hospital in western Gaza City, amid what is called the worst campaign of systematic starvation in modern history." Lima Bastami, the director of the legal department at Euromed, stated that, quote, "The crime of starvation in Gaza is fully fledged and committed in broad daylight. It requires no investigation committees or judicial rulings to prove it. It is enough to note that Israel has closed all crossings into the devastated strip for over 2 months, completely banning the entry of food, medicine, and goods, a well-established reality openly acknowledged by Israeli officials without fear of accountability. Gaza is filled with irrefutable evidence of the crime's horror, the emaciated bodies of people and children, tens of thousands lining up daily at charity kitchens, and the escalating death toll from hunger, malnutrition, and associated diseases. Approximately 60,000 children in Gaza are malnourished and in urgent need for treatment, and 16,000 pregnant and breastfeeding women are in desperate need of health care, according to the health ministry in Gaza. Dr. Ezzedine Shahab, a physician and a writer in Gaza, has been documenting the plight of the malnourished and starving patients he's treating, many of them infants and young children. He says he is also witnessing a rise in birth defects. He wrote the following on his Twitter page on May 3rd. Quote, "Yesterday at Al-Auda Hospital in northern Gaza, a girl child came into this world, and the world rejected her. She had no brain, not in the poetic sense of innocence or purity, but anatomically, literally, anencephaly. No cerebrum, no future thought, no dreams, no memory to be made. A skull empty of purpose. She was full term. Her mother carried her for 9 long months. through burning nights and weeping mornings, through dust, grief, and sirens, and then birth, but no life to save, only silence. The doctors stood helpless, mocked by the limits of their hands. I saw them, people of medicine, their skilled, sterile fingers trembling, not from confusion, but from recognition. Teratogenic damage, developmental failure, genetic disfigurement, not by chance, but by war. Bombs struck not only buildings, but chromosomes. The weapons, steel, shiny, American, fell not just to destroy the present, but to corrupt the womb, to poison the idea of tomorrow. What do we call this horror? Radiation? Dioxins? Depleted uranium? Invisible toxins that do not kill quickly? They wait. They embed cross-placental walls and twist the neural tube. They disrupt life before it begins. There are more cases, miscarriages, premature births, malformed limbs, cleft palates wider than sorrow, spinal cords like broken scrolls. The doctors whisper now, this is no cluster, it's a pattern. A Lancet study warns of up to 200,000 indirect victims, not from blast wounds, but from genetic harm passed down to generations unborn. But the world is deaf. It counts the dead by explosions, not deformities. It tracks casualties by limbs lost, not genes shattered. And here, beneath the rubble, the deepest wound is in the womb. I saw her yesterday, the mother. She didn't cry. She only looked. Her arms were empty. She had carried a daughter with no brain. But the child had eyelashes, fingers, and that's the most terrible thing, that life tried, that the body obeyed, that even in apocalypse, the cells kept building. Somewhere, another child may be born marked by air their mother once breathed, and they won't know why. They say war ends, that ceasefires come, that healing is possible. But how can it end when it lives in cells? When the placenta becomes a battlefield, when biology becomes the archive of war. This is not just a war of fire and steel, it's a war against life, against women, against the act of birth itself. I have seen death, bodies torn, lungs gasping under broken ribs, but never have I heard a silence as loud as when a mother delivers a child already condemned by the sky above her. And so I write. Not to accuse, not to weep, but to remember, because some weapons do not explode, they incubate. That was Dr. Ezzedine Shehab writing from Gaza. Israeli forces killed two journalists this week in Gaza. 214 reporters and media workers have been killed since October 2023, according to the Gaza government media office. On Wednesday, May 7th, Nur el-Din Matar Abdu, who worked as a broadcaster and reporter, was killed in a missile strike east of Gaza City. Just hours later, Israeli forces killed Yahya Sobieh, a reporter for several news outlets and whose footage of two girls eating a meal we showed last week. Sobieh was killed in the Gaza City massacre on Wednesday, just 5 hours after the birth of his daughter. Sobieh's last Instagram post was on Tuesday, documenting a mother trying to feed her family. It was World Press Freedom Day on May 3rd. Every year around the globe, governments and media leaders congratulate themselves in celebration of press freedom and the heroic work of journalists. The Gaza government media office stated that, quote, however, Gaza and at its heart, its heroic journalists celebrate this day in a different language, the language of blood, hunger, tears, and ashes. While the world celebrates press freedom, the blood of Palestinian journalists is flowing in the streets of Gaza. Their headquarters and cars are being bombed. Their pens and cameras are being smashed. Their homes and property are being targeted. And they are sometimes buried with their families under the rubble simply because they decided to report the truth. Ahmed al-Najjar, who we mentioned earlier in this report, delivered this message to the world from Gaza on Press Freedom Day.
I was asked by the Palestinian Journalist Syndicate to stand before you today because I speak English. But you don't need to be speaking more than one language to be able to describe what is being perpetrated here. In fact, very often you don't need words at all. A rolling camera is all it takes to capture crimes that humanity should have never seen. Crimes that our throats went hoarse, screaming and calling on you to stop. And today, on the World Day of Press Freedom, we stand here to remind the world that the press in Gaza is bleeding and is taken hostage by the most depraved occupation in modern history. We stand, have questions to journalists around the world who choose to stand silent before the corpses of their Palestinian journalists, asking them, are we less worthy of freedom than you are? Are we less worthy of life than you are? But we also stand to salute and send our deepest respect to every free journalist and every free person who refused to sell their voices despite temptations and intimidation, and continue to share the truth we broadcast here, to stand by our side as if they were among us. And finally, to the free world, we are exhausted and have every right to take off these useless vests. But we won't, because as we stand today, we once again vow for the blood of every child and every journalist the Israeli occupation has killed here and elsewhere, that we won't. We will not forget them. We've done our part. We'll keep it on. And it's about time you start doing yours.
That was Ahmed An-Najjar speaking from Gaza on World Press Freedom Day. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of A Recent Law School Grad with a Generous Soul by Hassan Ahmad Abu Sitta, writing from Gaza. Hassan writes that Mahmoud Al-Akhras, 27 years old, was his friend for 10 years. Quote, he wanted to become a lawyer just like his aunt. He graduated with a law degree in 2021 and began studying for a master's degree. He then started training at his aunt's law office in Khan Yunis. Mahmoud distinguished himself in that role, as those he worked with at the law office would often commend him for how he treated everyone and for his competence in solving thorny issues. Only 2 weeks before the genocide, on September 24th, 2023, Mahmoud earned his master's degree and became a lawyer. Hassan says that in August 2024, Mahmoud was hit in the head with shrapnel in an Israeli bombing in Khan Yunis. Quote, Mahmoud underwent multiple head surgeries and remained unconscious for 3 weeks. I wasn't able to visit him. The European hospital was located near the border, and it was too dangerous to reach at the time. On September 6th, 2024, Mahmoud's brother called and informed me that Mahmoud had succumbed to his injury. He was buried in a cemetery near his family's house. His brother tells me that their father visits the cemetery every day, sitting beside Mahmoud's grave. I often go to visit Mahmoud, recite the Quran, and speak to him. I want to cry out sometimes, to tell him how much harder life has become. I sit there for hours, sharing with him the heaviness of our days. I once asked Mahmoud as I stood beside his grave, do you know that some of our friends have been martyred? Mahmoud didn't answer. Those are excerpts from A Recent Law School Grad with a Generous Soul by Hassan Ahmad Abu Sitta, writing from Gaza on electronicintifada.net. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Palestine. The Samir Project, a local mutual aid organization in Gaza, in their Rifat al-Arir camp for displaced families. The children, they say, took a field trip to purchase plants, decorating the camp with mint, basil, jasmine, chamomile, peppers, and flowers. The Samir Project says, quote, they will also be growing a large amount of molokhiye in the Rifat al-Arir camp, which will be ready in 20 days. The amount is enough to feed the camp in small quantities for a week or so. Molokhiye is a traditional Palestinian dish that is composed of leaves, crushed into soup-like texture made with garlic and is usually served with chicken and rice. The leaves can be preserved for long periods of time without refrigeration. Gaza is extremely fertile and can grow enough crops to sustain most of its population. However, with the genocide, farmland has been destroyed and a lot of the soil has been infected with chemicals. Another challenge is finding space and enough water to grow. This won't stop us, though, and we will continue to persevere in any capacity possible. That's from the Samir Project in Gaza. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.